All right. Welcome back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. Well, it's October the 24th in the year of the Kingdom of our Lord on Earth, 2023. I have a couple of news items, and then I want to get into what I really want to talk about today. I was kind of surprised at this item. They called it the Five Eyes. I saw this on, I think it was 60 Minutes, and it talked about the people who were head of intelligence for the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. It's the first time they've ever gotten together face-to-face in public and made a presentation. And, of course, it's kind of interesting that they do it with this pending war. Not pending war. What is this thing really in Gaza and Israel? It's pending the total devastation of Gaza and its people by Israel. So it's not good enough that Israel locked them in a compound, but now they've got to go destroy every square inch of it. They have all these tanks. You know, is this really bravery? Does this really take a lot of power to use these fantastic high-tech tanks Israel has to go in and destroy an area on their own land? Gaza is part of Israel. It's a compound in Israel. It has no government. It has no military. It has no intelligence. It has no anything. And they're going to go in there and stomp the living daylights and kill every living thing. I don't think the free world ought to stand around and watch that. That's just my opinion. This is just insane. It's barbaric. It's and I'm not so sure that this. We all know that the Hamas was developed by Israel to take over the place of the guy that was really popular. I can't even remember his name, Yasser Arafat. And so I'm not so sure that they didn't send these worthless little rockets. They act like 150,000. It's more like bottle rockets. They're highly ineffective. They're not guided. They can hardly do anything with them. It's almost by accident that they kill anybody. But anyway, they're going to go in there now and destroy this place. And I was interested in what the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia and New Zealand said about this. I was most surprised to find out that they talked about China. And they are afraid of China taking over their secrets and stealing their secrets. And what I really think that's about is they're trying to get the West united around creating these monsters like China and Russia, who could impede the destruction of Gaza and maybe any more advances in the defense of this, what do they call it, the Ukraine. Anyway, I don't think it was, I was not impressed with anything they said here. Then the second item of news is COVID-19. Is in the special session, the third special session of the Texas Congress. They have three items they're looking at. School vouchers is one. Two is border security. Three is COVID-19 mandates. And it's basically divided by the Republicans and Democrats, two worthless groups. The Republicans say the people should not be fired from their job for not wanting to get a vaccination. Well, hallelujah. I agree. And then the Democrats say it's a public health issue and we should take care of each other. Well, what that really means is we should have authority to force everybody to get a vaccination because we have a public health issue. But in my view, this is an admission by the Democrats that they don't think the vaccines work unless every human being on the planet takes it. Well, that's just not a vaccine, then, is it? A vaccine is to prevent you to get from getting it if everybody on the planet has COVID-19. And if it doesn't help you when everybody else on Earth has COVID-19, then you shouldn't have gotten the shot either. Well, and what is basically these people are trying to say is, I got the shot, and since I got it, you must get it too for my shot to work. Well, this is just nonsense. It's insane. It kind of goes to this kind of thinking. I have a right to prevent you from doing anything really harmful to yourself, like jumping off a building. If I see somebody jumping off a building, I'm going to try to stop them. But that doesn't mean I have a right to make them do something or get some kind of medical procedure because I think they'd be healthier if they did. Those are two very different things. But anyway, now that we got the news items that I wanted to bring up, I kind of think they're a little bit relevant here, especially the COVID thing. I hope they do pass this law in Texas that make it mandates unlawful and actually penalize companies that try to make their employees get vaccines. If they do that, they're going to be fined lots of money. I love it. I wish they had done it a long time ago. And you're going to find out that this COVID thing has definitely impacted the church. But we're going to find out the church shouldn't have allowed it to impact the church anyway. But anyway, I was also this Sunday, I was watching C-SPAN 2, and it was called Books, and it was covering a brand new book out called The Great Dechurching. And it was written by two young guys. One of them is a pastor, and the other one is in the ministry in the same church over in Florida. And these guys raised about $100,000 from friends and others and were able to get two political scientists who surveyed religious trends. And they wrote this book called The Great Dechurching: Who's Leaving, Why Are They Going, and What Will It Take to Bring Them Back? And the authors of the book is Jim Davis and Michael Graham. And the two scientists were, let's see, Ryan Burgey and at Eastern Illinois University, and Paul Jupe, D-J-U-P-E, of Denison University. And they put together a book that they say is the largest ever study of folks who stopped going to church. And I'm just going to hit the highlights of this thing. I watched it. It was a great show. I'd like to watch it again. But anyway, and I don't have the link to that. I will give you a link to a story about it that I'm getting this information from. There was a lot of information. I couldn't remember it all, even when I was taking notes. It wasn't very good. But anyway, here's some highlights. More people are leaving the church than ever before in American history. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? 40 million people have left since 1970. Burgey said the book surveys build on previous studies of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. That's not Catholic nuns. That's nuns, people that have no Christian background at all. And so this previous study of the nuns, as well as the study showing the decline of congregational life in the United States. The 2020 Faith Communities Today study, for example, found the median congregation in the United States stood at 65 people, down from 137 two decades ago. That means that 72 people out of 137 left, and that's more than stayed. So that's 53% of all congregations left the church in 20 years, 2000 to 2020. Now, that ought to get some attention. A recent look at the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic found that the median congregation in 2023 is now 60, not 65. So 5 out of 60, or 8.33%, left in about a two-year period, all over a direct attack on Christianity in the vaccine scam. You know, really, the church, had it had real sound doctrine, it wouldn't have fallen for that vaccine scam at all. And it would have educated its congregation that they were perfect in Christ Jesus and didn't need shots or tweaking of any kind by man to be safe in society. Now, number six here, more people have left the church in the last 25 years than in all people who became Christians from the First Great Awakening in 1730 to 1750, the Second Great Awakening from 1795 to 1835, and the Billy Graham Crusades combined after World War II. Can you dig that? Does that say that there might be something wrong with what the church is preaching to? In 25 years, it's lost more people than it gained during the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, and all of the Billy Graham Crusades combined. What? I mean, that's blowing my mind. I mean, that tells me the church is in some serious trouble. It ought to be listening to anybody and everybody, and especially reading the Bible and trying to figure out what it is they ought to be doing. Well, anyway, five groups. This book breaks these Christians that are leaving into five groups, are the people that attended church and why they left. Okay, the first group is cultural Christians. These are people who attended church in the past but had little knowledge about the Christian faith. Then there was the mainstream evangelicals, a group of mostly younger dropouts. Then you had ex-evangelicals, is what he calls them. I thought it was just evangelicals versus mainstream, but it's actually ex-evangelicals. And this is an older, grounded group who had often been harmed by churches and other Christian institutions. And then there was the de-churched. I had to go look this term up. This was totally new to me, and none of the articles I was reading or any presentation made by anyone told me what this was. BIPOC, BIPOC Americans. That is Black Indigenous People of Color. Can you believe they went to that degree? That's kind of amazing. Okay, the BIPOCs, Black Indigenous People of Color, all right? And these were overwhelmingly well-to-do Black males, okay? And then the de-churched mainline Protestants and Catholics. Okay, so these people were kind of similar, even though they had their characteristics in church and the reason why they dropped out are similar, regardless of their differences in theology. But anyway, carrying on here, I'm going to start with this why they left. And pretty much they're very similar. But anyway, here they go. Cultural Christians. They left in part because their friends weren't there. 18%. And it wasn't convenient. Another 18%. But also because of gender identity, 16%. Can you believe that? There were that many people that went to church that were having a problem with figuring out who their identity, whether they were male or female. You know, if you can't figure out if you're male or female, you probably aren't going to be able to figure out where the kingdom of heaven is either. And then the church scandal, okay, some kind of scandal made them want to leave, 16%. Sounds like most of them were just looking for a reason to stop going. I don't think you have to work hard. I think people ought to be honest. If you don't want to go and you're not finding anything, you want, go ahead and drop out. And then go bang around out into society until you figure something out. I don't know. I probably shouldn't say that. Probably, you know, but anyway. Okay, the second group here, mainstream evangelicals. Okay, they dropped out because they moved, 22%, or services were inconvenient. Oh, darn, this is so inconvenient, 16%. But also because they did not feel much love in the church, 12%. Well, you know, yeah, okay, that's certainly understandable. And really, I shouldn't make fun of this inconvenient either, because sometimes people's work schedule, I mean, you have to make a living. Some of these people just couldn't, they couldn't go because they had to work. And, you know, remember the days when I was growing up, they had blue laws. They had things where people didn't work on Sunday. You went to the if the grocery store was even open, parts of it were closed off. I mean, Sunday was kind of a day everybody still kind of, you stayed home with the family and you went to church. None of that anymore, boy. We're too busy. We've got too many things going on, hip and groovy. Everything's happening, even on Sunday. Okay, well, now we come to the third group, ex-evangelicals. They left because they did not fit in, 23%, because they did not feel much love in the congregation. That's 18%. And then because of negative experiences with evangelicals, 15%. And they no longer believed. Now, this is one I have a hard time with, 14%. But how could they be evangelicals with a strong background and then 14% of them don't any longer believe? Maybe they meant don't believe in the evangelical church. So anyway, you can kind of see, we got to take a break here in a few seconds. But let's see, we're going to have the D-Church BIPOC and the D-Church mainline Protestants and Catholics when we get back after this, and then some major points after that. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Welcome back to the Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at the short segment at RBN and republicbroadcasting.org. And we were talking about the book, The Great Dechurching. And it's only been out on the market about 6 weeks. And it's got some pretty powerful information in it about the church. The Great Exodus. It's the Exodus from church. Now, does this tells you something about our culture and the way we politically respond to things too, and what the people are thinking and what they're not thinking. Well, anyway, we were talking about these five groups, and we got down to the fourth group. And this one is that BIPOC thing I was talking about, the Black Indigenous People of Color Americans. And these were mostly black, well-to-do men. And they left in their early 20s, often because they did not fit in. This is about 19% said that. And they had bad experiences, about 11% of them said that. Then the fifth group is the mainline Protestant Catholics. And there's two, okay, so we take the Protestants first of this group. So essentially there's two parts of that group. The mainline Protestants left because they moved, 25%. They just didn't start going to church where when they at the new location, or because they had other priorities, 15%, and did not fit in, 14%. Now, the Catholics, they said they had other priorities, 16%, or had different politics than others in their parish, 15%. Or the clergy, 15%. Now, after that, this book also broke all of the de-churched Americans into two main groups. The casually de-churched and church casualties. Those are kind of similar terms. The casually. In other words, they just casually left church. And the other one is casualties. They actually were harmed, you know, injured. So I think I would have called it church injuries versus the casually left. Anyway, and their main reason, the casually de-churched, said they moved and had scheduling problems. And those that were harmed, the church casualties, said conflict in the church and didn't fit, and they experienced harm. Well, now I think I'm actually the one of these church casualty guys. But anyway, now carrying on, here's the major findings according to Ron. That's me. Number one, many said they would like to return to church, but the real strong doctrinal Christians said they would never return to an evangelical church, but would attend some other kind of church. Let's see, what kind, other kind of church? Evangelical, oh, here it is. The evangelical is associated with the term premillennial. And many times when you hear the word evangelical, it will mean that they are of the premillennial, Christ returns before the thousand-year period that Satan is in a pit. That's what that is. And therefore, strong Christians will not do premillennial church anymore. They're done with it. 0% said they would go back to a evangelical church. I thought that was pretty interesting. Okay, next point I think is interesting is COVID-19 got people out who never returned. Also shows that the church had no resistance to imposed tyranny of COVID-19. The church was impotent. It did not know how to deal with that being imposed on them. They had no way of applying theology to this COVID-19 scam. Anyway, stay with us and we'll be right back after this.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
All right. Welcome back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. And we were talking about that book, The Great De-Churching. And I was talking now about what I thought were the main points, to me at least, what I think are major findings according to me. And I did one was that those that were strong in Christian background and left would never return to an evangelical church because basically of doctrinal and theological things that didn't fit for them. 0% said they would return to an evangelical church but would go to some other kind of church. The next one was the COVID-19 people that got out and didn't return. That was about 8.3% of all Christians going to church, that is. And it showed that the church had no resistance to the imposed tyrannical COVID-19 program. In other words, they never gave a theological reason or means for people to resist all these mandates imposed upon them, okay, which should have been quite easy to do and should have been done to protect the congregation from tyranny. devastating tyranny that wrecked their economy and caused divorces and all kinds of social problems. And the church just went, didn't say a word about it. Just, you know, if y'all want to get shot now, it's okay. And if you don't want to get, if you want to get one, well, I think you ought to get one, you know, and all that. This, that's a worthless church. Okay, 9.3. The study never considered, now that I'm talking about this, the book now, it never really considered the scriptural implication of why many are leaving the church, namely the falling away of the institution itself from sound doctrine. The study did show many people who said they wanted a church that was strong in justice and had ethical impact in the world, that is to say, not impotent. Whereas today, most churches are impotent. They have no, they are, their salt is gone. They're not a light in the world, and they've lost their saltness to be kicked out and trampled by a foot of men. Okay, under this, I'm going to get into the what this falling away really is and why the church is having this problem. So number one under this is that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 4 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." So in other words, don't be worried about this, the return thing. Don't get disturbed even by a letter that we send to you. It says, "Now let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Excuse me, let me cough just a second. Okay, now, I have to get a drink too, I'm sorry. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Wow, okay, that was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Now, what is the temple of God he's talking about? He's talking about there'll be a man will stand in the temple of God, or the, not a man, really, it says the son of perdition. That doesn't mean there's just, that's not like Judas. It's not like one man. It can be easily an eye. It's something. It's people. Okay. That in the temple of God, and this has to be because we're going to find out the temple is not what it used to be. Okay, what is the temple of God? Well, 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 16 tells you, "Know," this is Paul talking, St. Paul, "know you not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Okay, then where's the temple of God? It's in you. Well, it's not in Israel. It's not on the Temple Mount. It's not all that. See, all that changed, man. That's adios. What is the temple of those Christians who, I'm sorry, what is in, I'm asking this question, what is in the temple of those Christians in church who say, "The kingdom is not here yet, but comes later at the second coming of Christ Jesus"? I'll tell you what's in it. The modern state of Israel, where all prophecy revolves around the Antichrist state of Israel, that denies the King of the Jews and the Savior of the world. Now, instead of Christ and his kingdom standing in the temple, which is you, in the temple, in your body, and of the church, Christians in the church, instead of Christ and his kingdom, it's the Antichrist state of Israel, stands there, rejecting all that is God, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's right. Israel and Jewish, the modern people that call themselves Jews but deny Christ Jesus, the Son of God, they deny both the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and that is what Jesus said himself. Well, now, that pretty much means that this day has come. What is standing in the holy place, which is the church, which is the people, the hearts of the people, is the Antichrist, Israel, the state of Israel, and all of that Antichrist stuff. Now, the main point of what I can take from this book, and I am going to get this book. I have not read this book, and some of it sounds very interesting, and I'm definitely going to get it. But I just heard about it this weekend, so I hadn't read it. My main point is the church is in serious decline as never before, and it is due to its rejection of the works of Christ Jesus, making the church impotent and useless to human beings. The falling away is here as well as the soon return of Christ Jesus to judge the world. All right, my last point is this. Get right with God and Christ Jesus and get with others who do not allow Israel to stand in the holy place of Christ Jesus and his kingdom in their temples, in their own body and minds and hearts. Well, that concludes all of that. I'm wondering if anybody would like to call in and chat with me about this. I think it's kind of interesting. I think it certainly shows, I've said before, that Israel, the modern state of Israel, would not even have come into being had there not been a great falling away of the church. I believe this study actually kind of backs that up. I'm 1 year older than the state of Israel. I'm 76. The state of Israel is 75. It was basically created in 1948. I was born in 1947. And, of course, there's been this great falling away of the... I mean, can you imagine 53% of the people leaving church from 2000, the year 2000, to 2020. And look at the calamities worldwide, and the deception and the false flags and all of this. And now, is the world going to just allow Israel to destroy a population within itself? I mean, you know, Israel itself, these Jewish people had been up against this same kind of thing. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh chased the Jews to the edge of the sea. And he was going to, with his chariots and army, was going to destroy a whole a nation, the nation of the Jewish people, on the seashore. Well, it didn't work out that way, did it? Columns of fire held the chariots back, and then the sea split, and the people were delivered. And then, even wasn't there a city that was under siege, and the people were almost to eat their children? Cook their children and eat them so they could survive that. And the prophet said, no, have faith. And those that have faith will eat and have everything they need tomorrow. And what happened? They heard the strange sound. All the soldiers surrounding the city heard all these strange sounds. And they fearfully left the place. And the next day, the people went out and gathered all the tons and tons of goods of every kind. And they ate and they were delivered. And then even the people were, there was a conspiracy to murder all these Jews in their habitat. And God spared them by arming them against those who were going to murder them. Well, I'm asking the Lord to do that for these Gazan people. I mean, they have no chance with this thing. And they may have very likely had nothing to do with this rocket thing. And even if they did, these people are in dire straits. And for Israel, to their solution is just to destroy them. You put them in a compound, and then if you don't like jail, we'll give you this other option. We'll just murder you and destroy everything you've built. Well, I don't think that's civilization. And if the world goes along with that, it just tells you that this is not a civilized world. It also tells you the church is not having an impact in it at all. It's time for the church to get out from under the pew and out of the closet and say the kingdom is here and stand for something. Goodness gracious. Anyway, we do have two callers so far. Mike from Kentucky, how are you doing?
I think there's a lot of engineering that's been going on the last, 150 years or so, from Darby to, Schofield, who never went to seminary, and yet his Bible got accepted all over. The Christians United for Israel, right out of Texas there, man, they have infiltrated so many churches. You know, I've heard preachers being worried about Masonic influence on churches. I think that's a little bit of a joke, considering Kufi, Christian United, really.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I was just agreeing with you. The Mason influence, I don't know what that would be on it compared to premillennialism, what this John Hagee and Jeffress out of Dallas and Hagee and San Antonio, those guys, they're just flat out kingdom deniers, man. The kingdom of God is not here. Jesus hadn't done anything. It's all happening in Israel. Those guys missed the boat, man. The boat came in and left, and they ain't on it.
Yeah, the kingdom was at hand, if you read what was spoken to those people 2,000 years ago. So when is it no longer at hand? As if his kingdom it has no end. But that's the thing that people are going to have the courage to do, is to get kicked out of their own churches and watch the collection plates dry up. When they key people in these churches, if they were to stand their ground and say, look, we're not bound down to a cross with an American flag and an Israeli flag beside of it. I mean, which flag are we bound down to here? And of course, they're observing. Isn't that what was warned about in the Galatians? Observing days and weeks and various things like that. Turning back to the shadow.
Yes. Into the mystery, making everything a mystery instead of a revelation.
And we can work.
They don't
things.
Like knowledge. They want to go back and make it a mystery. Well, I'm not.
Or the
for
weak
that.
And the weak and worthless beggarly elements, or whatever the turns of phrase are. That was, whatever you think of Paul, he was chastising him for going back to these old rituals, and it's a lot like the Hebrews. I don't like to use the word Jews, but the Hebrews in the wilderness were lamenting their situation and grumbling. Saying that they had it better off in Egypt. The food was better, I guess. They got tired of the manna. So they went after these quail, and a bunch of them died. And they named it after the lust of their... They named that location after the lust of their... For the food that they craved, you know. I think Psalms mentions it. But anyway, we don't realize a lot of how dangerous, or what is that? It says, why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? That we, if we are to teach people wrong, we're, you know, we're in jeopardy. But Absolutely. At the same time, we don't realize all the blessings we have, and we take them for granted, and they get took away. So,
yes. Well, I think what had happened in the church to a great degree is they saw that if they spoke in favor of Israel and the Jews, that they suddenly found themselves more members and people that they were doing better in business. I remember going to First Baptist one time we used to go there in Houston. And there was a guy in the Sunday school class who said, you know, I was having trouble in my business. I couldn't get my business going. And I started standing up for the Jews and Israel, and my business just turned around, you know. Well,
how long ago was that, though?
Yeah, that was a few years back, you know. That was
right. So the lodges did have
40 years ago.
The lodges did have more power back then, and I think it's because that their scribes and their members were out there actually spying on the congregations and keeping a an eye on who need to go where, you know, who had the character and the talent and the need to go someplace. The cell phones, though, have made the lodges obsolete. I'll let you go.
Yes. All right, Mike. All right. Thanks a bunch. Dan from Washington, you're up next. You there,
hey,
Dan?
Great top. Thanks for taking the call. Definitely the, like you guys are talking about, the Zionist infiltration, the Trinity Broadcast Network, the John Hagees. And I would even go back to just the whole conservative movement where abortion is the only issue that they're allowed to talk about.
You because got that right. Yeah, you nailed it. That's the only thing they'll ever get the only time they'll even speak up at all is on abortion.
Yeah, it's like they're only, and you know, you had Johnson with the 501c3 scam, but yeah, it seems like they let them talk out about that. But I always wondered, after reading Martin Luther, the Jews and their lies, like, why wouldn't the Lutheran Church be protesting the Federal Reserve or media control? Things like that.
I mean, they're rich. I'm going to tell you something. I live in a town, a small town, Seguin, Texas, and they have a university here called Texas Lutheran University. And they are just as premillennial, lost in space as you can get. That the head of their theology department had married this Jewish woman, and it was all Jewish and Israel and all of that. And I can't even believe they even let that guy teach there. And he even wrote a new version of the Bible where he took everything derogatory about the Jewish people and put it in the footnotes and leaving it in the main text.
What do you think about race? I mean, a lot of it just comes down to race, too, because the church, even if people weren't hardcore believers, like you would have, like a Lutheran church would be proud to be, like, Swedish or Norwegian. You know, the Irish Catholics. So there was a connection with the racial European ethnic group. But then after the Civil Rights Act and then in the 1980s, they basically made that illegal, at least for every group besides Jews, right? So Irish people can't network with Irish people and use the church. But Jews kept doing it, I guess, apparently.
Yeah, that's the only outfit that doesn't apply to those folks, yeah.
Right.
All right, Dan. Well, I appreciate
Thanks for taking the call, man.
Anything else, real quick?
No, that's it. I just think a lot of it comes to race. Just like this shopping mall in America, no one wants to go to the mall anymore because it's like a United Nations refugee camp, you know. You're not around your own community, you know.
It's dangerous. So. First of all, you'll get shot over there, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, man. Thanks a bunch, man. All right, John from Colorado. Glad I got you in there. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Ron. I don't know if you can can hear me well. I'm in my car, but I'll do the best I can. It's when I was growing up in the church in California, Presbyterian, and went in and out of churches. And back then, when I was in high school, you didn't read about this. We had our Bible study and all that. And all of a sudden, becoming an adult, it just got more and more. Many of the pastors talked about Israel wasn't a big thing back then until the last, I'd say, before I moved to Colorado, the last 30, maybe 50 years. And then now that's all you hear. And now today, you know, we've come back here.
Yeah, they make everything revolve around Israel. Yeah.
It's,
None of it revolves around Israel. It revolves around Jesus Christ. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I mean, and how did the church get that far off? I mean, I guess gradually it just kept going wilder and wilder until it doesn't know where it's at.
Well, Ryan, you had a lot of pastors I associated with. They really don't. You know, they quote the Bible. They really don't, like I said, some Sunday said them in fire and brimstone, but they've lost it. They tell their stories. They kind of put together they make up and all that, and it make, you know, the people funny to listen to, easily to listen to, put them to sleep. But it really doesn't say that you're not following the kingdom. And what, you know, like I said, it's here, you don't have to wait for the second coming. There's here, but if the second coming does come, then, you know, that should tell everybody, hopefully, that, you know, if you're not into it, you better, or you're out.
Right. Well, John, I thank you for calling, and I hope you drive safely, my man. And,
thank you.
Well, anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening. I thought this was something people ought to hear. I got to get this book and find out some more detail about it. Probably won't talk about it much anymore. I might try to get those guys. They're young guys, and maybe they'd like to come on my show and talk about it. I'll see if I can get them. All right. Well, we'll see y'all next time. Thank you very much.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.